Good morning.
A note.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Today is February 20th, 2025. This board meeting will be conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only, and each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Takesha, our first order of business is a call for the roll. Could you call for the roll, please?
Will do, Madam President. President Cimarron.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Hutton.
Present.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Thank you. Our next order of business is approval of the minutes from the February 6, 2025 meeting. May I have a motion to approve the minutes? May I have a motion to approve the minutes? Do I need to call my commissioners to the principal's office? May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Neither.
I'm so blue. So moved. Sorry.
May I have a second?
Distracted by fellow commissioners.
May I have a second? Be in a second. Thank you. Takesha, we have a motion and a second. We call for the vote, and I do acknowledge that Commissioner Tran has joined the meeting.
We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes from the meeting on February 6, 2025. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote? Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Our next order of business is the General Manager's update. Mr. Kim.
Good morning, President Cimarron, commissioners, staff, and members of the public. Jimmy Kim, General Manager. Before we begin, I would like to bring up the Superintendent of the Metro Region, Ms. Anita Meacham, to provide a introduction of staff here at beautiful El Sereno Recreation Center. Ms. Anita Meacham.
Good morning, President, Commissioners, and staff. And guests, Anita Meacham, Superintendent, Metro Region. Since we have had several meetings here and have told you about the history here at El Sereno, we'll just talk a little bit about what's going on in the Metro Region. Right now, we have the Clean and Safe Spaces Parks Program that will be celebrating 25 years of programming this year. And we've updated our slogan to a fresh new name, Class Parks, 25 years of empowering teens and building futures. Coming up for the 25th anniversary, we'll be having several events. And coming up this Friday will be the anniversary dance at the Friendship Auditorium with approximately 327 teens that are signed up to attend. The Class Parks Runs program is building momentum in an effort to prepare teens for the LA Marathon, and will participate this Sunday, February 23rd, in the Griffin Parks Half Marathon, where 20 teens will participate and 5 staff. On this past Valentine's Day, Class Parks hosted the Love My Jeans workshop at Pecan Rec Center from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. 26 teens participated. And then tonight at Sepulveda Rec Center, another Love My Jeans workshop will be hosted at Sepulveda from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. So the teens will decorate their jeans, personalizing them to their taste. For the current season of Play LA, we're currently planning our 2025 Region All-Star Basketball Tournament for co-ed and girls, and that will begin March 8th through the 21st, and then the championship games will be played at Cathedral High School on the 22nd. They'll compete in the citywide tournament March 25th through the 27th in the West Region. As far as recreation programming here at El Sereno. It's a pre-qualified Play LA site, a girls Play LA site, a junior Clipper site, a summer nightlight site. We also have here the Senior Citizen Center that offers chair exercise, chair yoga, arthritis exercise, and many other classes that benefit those that are 50 plus. The team of recreation professionals that keep this park well-programmed, clean, and safe are the Recreation Senior Director, Jose Maciel. Okay. And then we have the Recreation Coordinator, Jacqueline Martinez. We also have the Recreation Facility Director of the Senior Center, El Sereno Senior Center, Jose Luis Gonzalez. And we have the Recreation Supervisor that oversees the district, the Northwest District, Juan Guzman. Principal Recreation Supervisor 1 of Class Parks, that's Leslie Perez, who I don't think is here. And then the Principal Supervisor 2, Kimberly Simone, that oversees the region. And then we have our maintenance staff, Julio Hernandez, Acting Principal Grounds Maintenance Supervisor, Andre Branch, Senior Park Maintenance Supervisor, Rafael Rodriguez, Acting Park Maintenance Supervisor, Senior Gardener Isaac Montoya, Gardener Caretaker Donald Henson, and SPA 2 Estella Arias. Thank you.
Alinda, thank you for that. I'm curious on the, maybe this is a, could be a Jimmy question too, on the basketball competition program. So does El Sereno compete with other rec centers and then there's the championship at the end of the year, at the end of the season?
Yes. It starts off with them competing at their park. And then we have district playoffs and then we have region playoffs. So we're in the region playoffs right now. We're planning for those and that will start March 8th through the 21st.
March 8th through the 21st of March.
Yes.
And so that's the, is there a second basketball season or is that the only basketball season?
That's the main basketball season. They can offer basketball in other seasons, mainly in the summertime, but that's the designated time for basketball season.
Yeah, just make note of you know, the Clipper facilities and the investment that Steve Ballmer so graciously made to upgrade all the courts in the city of Los Angeles, and the NBA All-Star Game will be held next in 2025. And it's going to be at a Tuitt Dome. So the Clippers are basically hosting the NBA All-Star Game next year. And I thought it would be a nice conversation to have with them now of how we might take the basketball programs with the Clipper courts and really celebrate that as part of All-Star Week.
That's a great idea.
So Denise Booth is the head of community development or community philanthropy and community relations for the Clippers. I'm happy to make a connection, but I think it would be a really nice tie-in given the investment that they've made in the courts.
Yes, Commissioner, we've had that 25-year plus relationship with the Clippers and in the Pacific region. Michael Harrison has led that charge for a long time. So I'll definitely pass that on to Deanne, who will pass that on to Michael. Thank you. That's a great idea.
All right.
Thank you, Anita and Board President. We have a very good relationship with Ms. Booth. So we'll connect with her as well. Thank you. Now I'd like to move on to highlights from the department. I just wanted to make sure that the public here in the room, as well as those listening, knows that we have updated our special events page on laparks.org. So we encourage you to go onto that page to look for all the different special events that we have throughout our park system. For general updates, I wanted to let the commissioners know that the commission office has received various communications from constituents, and I have assigned appropriate staff for follow-up on those communications. In addition, today we were going to get a verbal report back from CD4. They were prepared to provide an update on the Ambassador Program and the Riverside Abridge Home Program. but this item was not specifically listed on our agenda. So we'll be hearing that update at the next regularly scheduled board meeting to give sufficient time for the public to know that this discussion is happening. And that meeting will be on March 6th. Next, I would like to bring up Grace Duncan and Veronica Polanco. Grace Duncan is our chief data officer and Veronica Polanco is our chief innovation officer. They will be providing us a presentation on the fiscal year 23-24 data and statistics. Those listening, I'd like to mention that the file can be downloaded on the website. For those in attendance, if you'd like to follow along, you may either follow along by viewing the visual TV here in the room, or a copy can be picked up at the back table. So I'm going to hand it off to Veronica and Grace.
Good morning, President and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to present today. I'm Grace Duncan, Chief Management Analyst from the Data and Asset Management Unit. We will be providing an overview of the fiscal year 23-24 data for PlayLA, highlighting key enrollment trends, council district impact, and participant demographics. It's important to note that 23-24 marks the second full year of PlayLA operation following COVID-19. As families return to in-person activities, we have seen continued growth in participation, and today's data will illustrate the impact of our programs and areas for further outreach. As we go through the council district slides, we will present both pre-qualified and non-pre-qualified site data chronologically from District 1 through Council District 15 to ensure a clear comparison across all areas. So our key metric this year, 23-24, PlayLA saw strong participation growth exceeding expectations. We had total enrollments of 228,312 with unique participants of 90,164. We had a total of 88 pre-qualified rec centers and 37 pre-qualified pools, along with numerous non-pre-qualified sites that contributed to the overall participation growth. To clarify, a pre-qualified site is a location within a half-mile radius of an area where the median household income is 91,000 or below. All these sites, at these sites, these participants qualify for the reduced $10 enrollment fee. A non-pre-qualified site falls outside of these designated areas. However, families with household income less than 91,000 can sign a waiver or certify electronically to receive the reduced fee, ensuring that PlayLA programs remain accessible regardless of location. PlayLA enrollment saw a 39% overall increase over plan, reflecting strong community engagement and continued growth in youth sports participation. And a notable 24,000, almost 25,000 participants engaged in two or more sports, showing strong continued engagement with our programs. These results demonstrate PlayLA's success in providing affordable and accessible youth sports across Los Angeles. Next slide. This is our enrollment breakdown, planned versus actual. We significantly exceeded our enrollment projections. Total enrollments reached 228,000, exceeding the plan by 39%, and showing growth from prior year, the 22-23, which had almost 177,000, which is a 29% increase from the prior year. Pre-qualified sites led the way, surpassing projections by 49%, largely due to expanded class offerings and strategic outreach. Similarly, non-pre-qualified sites exceeded expectations by 47%, showing that waivers are effectively removing financial barriers for participants in higher income areas. And before moving to the council district specific breakdowns, we will first take a look at aquatics enrollments, which continue to play a key role in Play LA's programming. In the following slides, we'll review an aggregated view of all aquatics enrollments, including pre-qualified and non-pre-qualified pools. The pre-qualified pool enrollments are ranked from highest to lowest increase over plan, and similarly, non-pre-qualified pool also ranked by highest to lowest increase. So next slide. Focusing on our pre-qualified pools, this slide presents a detailed breakdown of enrollments ranked from the highest to the lowest increase over plan. The plan enrollments were about 38,000, while actual reached 29, resulting in a shortfall of about 9,400 enrollments below plan. While John C. Argue, Swim Stadium, and Celeste King had strong participation, enrollments overall fell short. Let's move on to the second part of the pre-qual full breakdown.
Before you move on, I just wanted to comment on the pool shortages or the not reaching our enrollment data by the Jimmy Kim, Recreation Parks General Manager. I wanted to make note that last year we were dealing with a shortage of lifeguards. We were dealing with competitive salaries throughout the region. And so the department, specifically the aquatic division, had to adjust their operating hours to be able to provide the most efficient way to provide not only recreational swimming, but also swim lessons as well. And so that is why we see where we couldn't hit our marks. We believe that this year it is going to certainly improve, but we're still seeing those shortages. So we're going to continue to maximize the life-saving staff that we have on duty to make sure that we're, equally providing not only recreational swim, but also swim lesson opportunities. So I wanted to make note of that because it was a significant challenge for the department, specifically in the aquatics division. Thank you.
The second slide just continues the pre-qual pool breakdown, showing enrollments ranked by highest to lowest increase over plan. Turning to our non-pre-qual pools, as with the pre-qual sites, these pools also experience enrollments below our projections. Planned enrollments were 11,249, while actual reached 5,700, resulting in a shortfall of 5,500 enrollments below plan. While Laces Pool had the highest number of waivers, overall, most pools fell below projections. So now we will now review pre-qual.
I have a question about
this. I'm sorry.
Where it says zero, does that mean this pool was closed or there
zero
was no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we will go through the pre-qualified site enrollments by council district. Presented chronologically from Council District 1 through Council District 15. I'll just be brief, actually. There's a lot of information, but I will just be brief on each council district. So CD1 had 18,558 enrollments, surpassing the plan by 10,260. Rio de Los Angeles led with 3,134 enrollments, followed by Cypress Park and Downey. CD2 had 7,200 enrollments, surpassing the plan by 2,923. Valley Plaza led with the 2,690 enrollments, while North Weddington had the lowest participation at 378. CD3 exceeded its enrollment plan by 874, reaching a total of 4,910 enrollments. In CD5, Poinsettia Rec Center was the sole contributing site, exceeding its plan by 358 enrollments. CD6 saw 16,089 total enrollments, exceeding the plan by 2,900 enrollments. Delano led with 5,500 enrollments. CD7 showed a significant rise in enrollments, particularly at Sylmar and Stonehurst. CD8, Mount Carmel and Elgin Sutton had higher than expected enrollments with 1689 and 1615 enrollments respectively. CD9 exceeded planned enrollments by a wide margin with Green Meadows, Ross Snyder, and Trinity leading the council district. CD10 enrollments were driven by high participation at Lafayette and Chateau. CD12, Granada Hills recorded 2,029 enrollments, exceeding the plan by 1,069. CD13 also had an increase in enrollments led by Chevy Chase and Hollywood Rec Center. CD14 had the highest total enrollments over plan across all council districts, with 33,114 enrollments, exceeding the plan by 21,440. Ramon Garcia, Evergreen, and El Sereno each surpassed 4,000 enrollments. And lastly, CD15 enrollments increased with Harbor City and 109th Street leading. Any questions on those? Okay. Next, we'll look at the non-prequel.
I had just one. Sorry, that's loud this morning. I just had one, and maybe it's just anecdotal information that you have on the areas where they exceeded numbers. Are you thinking it's just like a straight density thing, or is there a marketing or community outreach done differently to drive those numbers? Anything that you have as feedback on the why? Because we want to index more into the why if it's something we're doing or doing in partnership with the council district.
Yeah, I can speak to that. Veronica Polanco, Chief Innovation Officer. A lot of it was the marketing and outreach. For most, the center that really had an increase had also great social media presence, and the center themselves as staff was really active. But in addition, we actually did a whole tour with every council district, and there was a difference in partnerships. Like some really took to us right away and invited us to large festivals like, you know, Grand Park, New Year's Eve, the Broadway Fiesta, which is like really large amounts, Taste of Soul, that sort of, those sort of like larger events, which gave us a lot of awareness into the community. But then some council districts took it as far as asking for training for their field staff. Some neighborhood councils shared the information printed in their newsletters without us asking. So I think that part kind of drove a little of the increase. And it just really like was the council district meeting us where they wanted to, because I did about four council districts did extensive training for their field staff. And so it was a feel good way to share the information and they had in their back pocket. And then based on that, we got invited to more and more events in those districts to be have a presence. So we think that was a big contributor.
Next, we'll look at the non-pre-qualified site enrollments, also presented chronologically from District 1 through 15. Across all council districts, waiver participation remains strong, with waivers accounting for 41% of total enrollments in non-prequal sites. It demonstrates that families in higher income areas are benefiting from the $10 enrollment fee through our waiver certification. CD1 saw strong participation at Montecito Heights, which exceeded the plan by 319 enrollments. CD3 saw a notable increase over plan, with Woodland Hills driving the majority of enrollments.
Hey, Grace?
Yes.
I'm sorry, if you don't mind, would you mind? I know that we have data for each council district.
Skip.
Yeah, I think if you could skip to the gender and age breakdown slide and then just to summarize, we appreciate the
statement each.
Thank you.
But over we've had increase enrollments, so no problem. So we where the slide with the map, Denise, there. So we're just highlighting here on the map the top performing recreation centers from each council district, both pre-qualified and non-pre-qualified, based on the highest enrollment increases of our plan. So the green markers represent pre-qual sites serving the lower income areas. I don't know if it's kind of clear. And blue markers represent non-pre-qual sites where participants qualify for the $10 enrollment fee by signing the waiver. So we just wanted to give you a visual on those top performing sites. Then on the age and gender breakdown, examining who is participating, we're comparing the 22-23 to the 23-24 plan. And it's been consistent, 56% male, 44% female. And the highest enrollment increases were in ages 7 to 12. And the largest single age increase was in age 11 with almost 2,700 more enrollments than the previous year. So we've given you like the differences.
Grace, I know we've put a lot of effort into Girls Play LA, the new partnership with Angel City Football Club, some coaching education for women coaches. We haven't really moved the needle year over year in terms of girls' participation. Is there any reflection on why that's the case or what we're doing to increase those numbers? Because I know our goal is to get to parity.
Yeah, a part of it is the coaching. So we are doing a push to hire women coaches across the sports, particularly for Girls Play LA. So we're in the midst of doing a big hiring part of it. And so I think that'll be part of it because then we're able to offer more. But we do have strong hubs with the Girls Play LA program. Some of these are included in these like increased efforts. So we're trying to really bring all the pieces together. But yeah, we're doing a big push for that.
And my last slide is the our race ethnicity breakdown. And the demographics closely mirror the city of Los Angeles as reported by the census reporter. And here of the, in 23-24, of the 25% who responded, majority identified as Hispanic, followed by white, then Black, African-American, and Asian. So that is the end of our report. In closing, Play LA continues to expand, providing affordable and accessible sports programming for thousands of youth across Los Angeles. And we remain focused on growing opportunities for all families. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Veronica. Again, Jimmy Kim, General Manager. And that concludes my General Manager update. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. With that, Takesha, I think we'll move on to general public comment. Can you conduct general public comment, please?
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our WRAP inbox at wrap.commissioners@lacity.org. When I call the first three, can you please come up and stand in the middle of the aisle? Ryan Burton, Margaret Ackerblom, and Glenn Rozick.
The three of us are together, and so if it will be okay with the commission, I was going to go first. Okay.
Just a reminder, you each get 2 minutes, so you can get started now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. So my name is Margaret Ackerblom. I'm legal counsel for La Cienega Owner LLC, which is the owner and developer of the Habitat project that you see here, which is at 3401 La Cienega in the West Adams neighborhood, currently under construction. My client applied for a fee credit from the Recreation and Parks Impact Fee based on the over 33,000 square feet of additional open space they provided at the project site. We're here today during public comment to ask that the board please direct staff to place our fee credit application on the next available board agenda so that we can present the application to you and so that you could render a decision on a fee credit that we believe we're due under the fee credit ordinance. I also provided you a packet with a letter explaining our request as well as our application materials. We're making this request during general public comment instead of this coming from staff because RAP staff told us in our last communications with them that they would not advance our application to the board, but that we could reach out to you directly during a hearing, during a public agenda to ask that you put us on a hearing calendar. To give you a very brief history, as you know, the city requires a rec and parks impact fee for residential projects. But the city's code also provides a process for developers to apply for a credit from that fee if we provide additional open space and recreational amenities at the project. RAP has detailed policies listing which amenities are eligible for the credit, including a formal policy that this board adopted in October of 2023. So my client submitted an application for the credit in August of 2023. They've since resubmitted the application, or rather the revised drawings, many times at great cost to respond to the many rounds of comments from RAP staff. At all stages of the drawings have complied with the eligible facilities in
RAP. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
I have some other members of the development team here to speak on that.
Can I proceed? Good morning. My name is Ryan Burton. I'm the development director at Lendlease, working on the Habitat project. Lendlease is a 60-year-old company headquartered in Australia. Lendlease builds great places for people to enjoy in global gateway markets, and we make a long-term commitment to neighborhoods we develop in. As you can see in the rendering, and an acre of open space connecting the two buildings at the Tianaga Jefferson Metro stop, and it's within the geographic center of Los Angeles. For those of you that have seen the project recently, it is now looking more and more like the renderings as we get closer to finishing construction this time next year. We're excited to see it come to life and see it as the next great place in Los Angeles. We first reached out to Rec and Parks in mid-2021 during our entitlement process and have been diligently following up for almost 4 years. Separately, we completed a robust community and stakeholder outreach program, including connecting with neighbors, See's Candies, LA Metro, and others, and the local community, including LA Green Grounds, West Adams Neighborhood Council, Baldwin Hills Village Gardens HOA, and Village Green. We also spoke extensively with the local council district CD10, planning, and several union groups. Entitlements were completed in mid-2022, including unanimous approval from the Planning Commission. In collaboration with Rec and Parks, we elected to increase the park space above and beyond the required amount. As part of our detailed conversation with Rec and Parks, including guidance on how to include the excess park space on our entitlement plans, it was clear that there was a mutual understanding that we will complete a fee credit application, submit to Rec and Parks, and if in conformance, receive a fee credit commensurate with the cost of the work. As Marty mentioned, this has not been the case. Glenn will now follow up with more detail about our fee credit application. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Glenn Rosick, and I'm a development manager at Lendlease working on the Habitat project. As Ryan outlined, we have been working in good faith with Rec and Parks staff for the past few years in order to process our recreation credits application in accordance with the Los Angeles fee credit ordinance. The proposed recreation credit areas have been designed and planned to the highest standards in terms of materials, quality, and design, and include two areas which will serve to reduce the impact of our project residents on existing park and recreational facilities. The first area comprises 29,000 square feet of publicly accessible outdoor open space adjacent to the Metro Expo Line and shared use bike path, with numerous open access points along the bike path as well as at La Cienega Boulevard. This area offers both active and passive amenities, including a designated walking and jogging path, abundantly landscaped open space with seating and shaded areas, open grass areas, and a games area with fixed ping pong tables. The area will also serve as a plaza for Metro riders disembarking there and bicyclists using the Jefferson bike path. The cost of these improvements based on 2024 RS means values is $5.1 million, with the actual cost far exceeding that amount. The second area comprises 5,000 square feet of private recreation credit area, which is available to all residents of the project. The area offers both active and passive amenities, including a yoga room, gym fitness room with equipment that is both movable and fixed, community rooms, and kitchen lounge areas. The cost of those improvements, based on 2024 RS means values, is $1.7 million, with the actual cost, again, far exceeding this amount. To summarize, our fee credit application conforms to the city's fee credit ordinance and implementation policies. We'll reduce the impact of our project's residents on existing park and recreational facilities and will be of great benefit to both the West Adams and transit ridership communities. And again, we ask the board that you direct staff to place our fee credit application on the next available board agenda for a public hearing so that we can present it to you and have the board issue a decision on the amount of fee credit we should receive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. I'm going to bring up the next three constituents. Raymond Rios, Don Socha, and Nancy Reza.
Go ahead. Good morning, Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Welcome again to our community of El Sereno. My name is Raymond Rios, and I'm a Park Advisory Board member for Ascot Hills Nature Park, which is the hillside right behind this gymnasium. I was here in December along with some of my fellow Park Advisory Board members, and at that time we presented to this board some longstanding issues that we as residents and PAB members have been attempting to get addressed and resolved now for several years. Those requests included replacement of our park's long missing entrance sign, the installation of hydration stations, the repaving of one of our two parking lots, and the removal of the barbed wire that currently lines the perimeter of our park. With no other recourses, we desperately ask this commission for help in addressing these matters. While I'm happy to report that shortly after that meeting in December, we did receive communication from Rec and Parks, and we did begin serious dialogue in working toward addressing and resolving these requests. We have since met in person and have had walkthroughs in our park to go over placement of many of these improvements. And we are very encouraged and grateful for what has been discussed thus far. But until we see these improvements completed firsthand, we'll continue to press forward in attaining them. So for the progress that has been accomplished so far, I thank this commission and especially Assistant General Manager Kathy Santo Domingo for elevating our requests and concerns to priority level. We are eagerly optimistic that many of these more feasible improvements can be completed by this April. Since at that time, we have one of our biggest community events of the year, where over 1,000 visitors will come out and participate in our Earth Day Kite Flying Festival. So once again, I thank you for your time and consideration and look forward to good things in our park. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm here to again urge the closure of the Riverside Bridge Home Shelter in Las Feliz. Las Feliz agreed to 3 years, it's been five. And Nithya Raman just wrote a $40,000 check to a different nonprofit called Sila that she co-founded to fulfill the promise of extra security for the neighborhood known as the Ambassador Program. In emails between her and her staff, it was decided that the money wouldn't be used for security, but just as another resource for the people of the shelter. Isn't that what we are already paying PATH millions of dollars a year for? The Ambassador Program is no longer about security, so of course Patrick Siggins left here today with no update. There are streetlights that still don't work in Las Feliz. The fountain still doesn't work. The public pool is still closed. I personally no longer feel safe walking into the village with all of the encounters that I've personally had. Yet Raman's office doesn't think the neighborhood needs more security. How about we don't funnel more money into the bridge home and start using it to the maintenance and betterment of Las Feliz? We agreed to 3 years. This shelter is just another example of a government not making good on its end of a treaty with a community. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Reza, and I am a representative of the newly formed Neighbors of Elysian Park. How many of you have been to Elysian Park? You have. Beautiful, right? 600 acres of gorgeous trees in the middle of our city. We love our park so much, and these recent tragic fires really encourage the community to say, we got to do something. It's a tinderbox waiting to explode, and it's really scary. But right now, we are concerned about the lack of enforcement of the laws that are already in place. No smoking, no overnight camping, and yet there is smoking, there is overnight camping. We love our park rangers. We know them personally. We wave to them when we're in the park, but they need help. Whenever I walk in the park, I can personally see people smoking in front of the soccer field or by the bathroom. And I want to say something, but I'm afraid, really. What if they attack me or say, you know, who do you think you are? So you go and you call the rangers, and you know they're all over. There are so few of them to cover so big space. So we're asking, please, please give them some time. Give them some help. They really need help. We need more signs. There's two little signs at the beginning of the park that say no smoking, no fires, but they're two little signs, and they're not in other languages. There's people from all over our community that use that park. They need to see it in other languages, Spanish, Chinese, Filipino. They need to see these signs. Do not smoke in this park, please. And that's what we're asking for right now. So from the neighbors of Elysian Park, newly formed, this is my first time attending a meeting, and I'm so glad that you're here and you hear our voice. And please help us keep our homes, our park, and our city safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. I'm going to bring up the next three constituents to come and stand in the middle. Ricardo Gomez, Brad Davies, and Liz Bradley.
Morning, commissioners. My name's Ricardo Gomez, and I'm a patron of Griffith Park. It's time to close the bridge housing in South Griffith Park. Originally, when the housing was created, we were promised LAPD patrol for security. We never got it. When Ms. Rahman became councilperson, we were promised an ambassador program. We never got it. Instead, she sent $42,000 to an organization that she founded that has no experience in security, no experience in providing mental health services. The Bridge Home is a failure. Per the most recent CAO report, it only places 8% of its residents in permanent housing, leaving 92% of the residents stuck in a revolving door of drugs and crime, and really with no way out. Years ago, we were promised a senior housing facility, a senior center, not a housing facility, a senior center at that site. That was 14 years ago, and we've never gotten that. And we strongly believe that the park is for all people. It shouldn't be a housing provider. And hopefully we'll get that senior center there so low-income seniors have a place to go and gather. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Morning, board. I'm Brad Davies. I'm with the Ascot Hills Advisory Group. Thanks for coming and visiting us here at the El Sereno Rec Center. If you get a chance, take a look around. We have a skate park, we've got tennis courts, we've got a swimming pool, we've got a full-size sports field. It's a very great facility here. Basically, I'm part of the Ascot Hills Rec Park. It's up right up the hill here. This is an unusual park in that we're naturalizing it. We're basically have volunteer groups go in there and take out all of the invasive species. We want to restore it back like it was 500 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, about 6 years ago, we had a really cool sign. Termites and dry rot took it out. And finally, this year, we've got scheduled to get a sign. We've been without a sign up there for a long time. Also, our parking area up there is going to be recoded and slurry coat. And that's basically going to save money, because when the asphalt goes, you got, then you have an ugly thing. And because we want to keep the plastic out of the park, we basically are going to, we've requested hydration stations. So you have your fill water bottles. And I think all this stuff is, this attention that's being given to this park is appreciated. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. My name is Liz Radley. I'm admin for the Burbank Glendale Griffith Park Equestrians, and I'm here to comment on the Los Angeles Equestrian Center and to say thank you for the incredible value that it provided during the recent evacuations. The importance of it to the community is not just those people who go there every day, who board their horses there, which include myself, but also in our wider area. We had horses coming in from Pacific Palisades, from the Eaton Fire, under extreme duress. You know yourselves, the winds were so incredible that at the Equestrian Center itself, we had to wear goggles. We had like stadium lights crashing down. It was unbelievable to not only the fires themselves, but where the horses were coming to was itself stressed, not at all the quiet place you think an evacuation center is going to be because of the winds. The number of horses that came in were over 400. Some of those horses had never been on a trailer, never left the land on which they had been born. They were often very stressed. We had a fantastic group of volunteers come in to assist the center itself. And I want to give a special shout out to Fleet of Angels, who called me immediately and asked me to be their local representative. And we worked with Demore's Feed and Tack, wearing the hat today, so that hay and water buckets and other supplies needed for these horses came in immediately. And it was really extraordinary to work with such a dedicated group of people, paid, unpaid, local volunteers, people driving in with donations. It was extraordinary. And I know that there are fiscal challenges, obviously, in this period of time. But I recall that you mentioned to say how it was valuable to the community, not just to the smaller group.
Thank you for your time. I'm going to bring up the next three constituents. Daniel Riza, Sake Koyama, and Luvia Aras.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for having this meeting here. And I want to say I'm thankful for being here today. I'm talking about, speaking about Elysian Park today. And I'm a resident of Elysian Park for the past 23 years. And also I'm on the board of Friends of Elysian Park, which was originally Citizens Committee to Save Elysian Park. And I've been on that board for 15 years, and I'm also a member of the Neighbors of Elysian Park. What I'd like to speak about is that we want to try to reactivate Radio Hill and putting some passive uses up there. What I mean by passive recreational uses is a dog park, hiking trails. We've seen examples of where we've reactivated uses in the park that have sort of limited the amount of cruising in the area in certain parts of the park. And so we believe that reactivation will cut down on the number of fires, get the rangers up there, get people up there, and we can keep a watch on the park when there's encampments that are encroaching on the park. We'll have people who can report it through the My311. And so what I'd like us to do is, we have monies to do this. There's monies in the DWP mitigation fund. There was $12 million that was allocated. We've spent all but about $4 million now. And this money is available so we could do some projects like this. And we can also complete the master plan for Elysian Park. I think the master plan's important. We get community input on it. And we go forward for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years on the park. So I'd appreciate if the commissioners direct our general manager to start to move on this and help us reactivate the park and get us to use the park as its purpose. So thank you for your time.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Sakai Koyama. I'm co-president of Friends of Elysian Park. I'm also on the Echo Park Park Advisory Board, as well as Preserve Echo Park and now Neighbors of Elysian Park. My comments today are twofold. Echo Park. Hugo Soto Martinez has a plan, a pet project of bringing in sanctioned street vendors inside the park. Presently, they are on the outskirts. But his plan is to bring them inside daily, self-policed on a permanent basis. This is not going to work. Echo Park is a passive park, a place to rest, relax, recreate with nature and wildlife. Over 80% of the residents are renters, many without a backyard. The lake is their only green space. They deserve to enjoy it without being bombarded by commerce. In December, the commissioners met and the Boathouse Cafe was on your agenda. We were told you would not be looking for a new tenant to occupy the space. I think that's a huge mistake. An empty building is inviting squatters, graffiti, vandalism, and fire. Please continue to search for a new tenant, even if it's corporate like Starbucks. Elysian Park. January was a scary month for the city of Los Angeles. The unprecedented fires that exploded in the Palisades and Eaton Canyon were sobering for all Angelenos. I live right against Elysian Park. My neighbors and I were on edge the entire 3 to 4 weeks, packed with a go bag, pet carriers by the door. Before we finally got the rains at the end of January, Elysian Park was a tinderbox. We wrote to RAP in January regarding our concerns and the response of multiple red flag alert closures and how that looks in Elysian Park. Not gonna lie, it had us wanting and concerned. We know we can be better prepared. We sent a follow-up letter on Tuesday, and now that the immediate urgency has passed, but still fresh in our minds, please have a conversation with us on a plan moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I had Luvia Aras. I'll call the next three. Damian Ouellette, Cameron Flanagan, and Kevin Mulligan.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Damian Ouellette. I'm a resident of El Sereno and chairperson for the Ascot Hills Park Advisory Board. I'm also a professor of ecology at a local university. I want to thank you all to the RAP Board of Commissioners and especially Kathy Santo Domingo, who have listened and respond to several requests made by the Ascot PAB. I also want to articulate to you what your support of Ascot Hills Park does for the park and our community. On my small diagram here, Ascot is home to over 300 different species of plants and animals, hosts over 1,200 student visits each year from LAUSD, as well as our local universities, and gives back upwards of $2.9 million in ecosystem services to the community in terms of carbon sequestration and air filtration. The park's 3.5 miles of hiking trails are utilized by our Ascot Hills 5K challenge, the Earth Day Kite Festival, and morning fitness classes and bird walks. Ascot is also a growing engine for scientific research on urban ecology and environmental restoration with 7 scientific studies in the past 2 years. So thank you kindly for your support of Ascot Hills Park and for being here today in our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, commissioners. Thank you for allowing me to make public comment. By now you have the CAO report, and I hope that you've been able to review it in regards to the Bridge Home Shelter. There are a number of questions about that report, but what we do know basically is that about 8% of the people in the shelter are only 8% are getting housed, which is that's got to change. Worse, we found out that Councilmember Rahman used public funds to orchestrate a no-bid contract for an organization that she co-founded. and she paid them $42,000 under the guise of a, quote, ambassador program. The ambassador program was supposed to be for safety for the exterior of the facility, the greater public, and it has not been implemented. The circle team does come around once in a while outside the exterior of the shelter. That's affiliated with LAPD, but it's not often enough. So if it weren't for this board, we would not even have the discussion about an ambassador program. So I want to thank you for that. But what I really want to know is when Patrick Siggins of Council District 4 decides to show up, maybe he can answer some questions about the contract between Council District 4 and this CELA organization. There's no mention of the CELA organization in any motion with the City Council. No one knew about them, and they're not contracted with LASA or any other organization. And Council District 4 just will not communicate with the public. So I would appreciate it if the board could please, please get more information to us, to the public, the greater public, the community, and people who patronize Griffith Park. People want to know. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Morning. My name is Kevin. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. You all have a difficult and often underappreciated job that you really do execute with grace. Parks are beautiful. 8 months ago, this commission approved another one-year extension of the Riverside Bridge home, but with the addition of two conditions: a report on progress and regular reports on the ambassador program envisioned to address critical safety issues. CAO did indeed file a report which said the shelter had placed 8% of residents. 92% remain in limbo. LASA performance target for placement is 40%. It's not even close. Ms. Rahman and CD4 skirted the existing LASA and PATH contracts to directly pay $42,000 to her organization, CELA, who has zero experience with safety. They hand out donuts. That is not safety. This commission has a unique opportunity to fight waste and corruption and to not renew the permit when it comes up. I ask that you do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Going to bring up the next three constituents: Susan Winslow, John Warner, and Sarah Harris.
Hello, my name is Dr. Suzanne Wenslaw. Can you hear me now? I've been a 52-year resident of Los Feliz, and my house is up behind and uphill from the bridge shelter. As you know, in August 2024, you commissioners required Councilman Rahman two conditions for continued lease of the bridge housing. And if not met, you would refuse to continue the operation. Condition number one, an ambassador program for greater safety. This has never been set up, and instead she directed to her nonprofit, CELA, $42,000, and that check was cashed, not approved by the city council. Crime in the immediate area due to the draw of the shelter for drugs remains very high. Last year, the LAPD reported Los Feliz a 40% increase in property crimes. I myself had a homeless encampment on the other side of my fence that required the police to come intercede in intervention. Additionally, at 11:30 at night, I had a fire captain come to my house asking to get access to the hillside to put out brush fires, which he said has increased tremendously since the bridge housing has been in effect. The crime and the deterioration in the neighborhood continues. The second condition that you required of Rama was an accountability on the shelter. The city administrative officer, CAO, did a report, and a mere 8% of the occupants have received permanent housing. 8%! That's 92% that are still there that have not received any help at the cost of $3.2 million a year.
Thank you for your
time. This temporary shelter is a failure, and we need you to now do what you said you're
going
to do.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Close the shelter. Thank you.
Thank you, John Warren. Councilwoman Rahman herself needs to show up at the shelter and speak with the people who are stuck at the shelter. Her staff has only been to the shelter last week, trying to keep everything internal between PATH and Sheila, both criminal organizations. All the while, one housing navigator from PATH is trying to get to the people housed. Either the shelter has to work or it has to go. The community needs more detailed information about the status of South Griffith Park master plan from Rec and Parks that was trouted by CD4 during Rahman's re-election campaign a year ago. It would be appreciated if the general manager, Kim, would coordinate this with the appropriate RAP staff and get back to us. It seems you guys have the power to make this thing work. Yet year after year, you extend the lease, you don't do anything. Why is it when you have the power to correct this and get it done and close it down, you don't do anything? Is it because you're the boss that appointed you to these commissions is telling you not to work on it, along with Rahman? It's just atrocious. We appreciate your help in closing this down, and the people in all the tiny houses and the other things come to these meetings, and we need to solve the issue. And just leaving the people there is not a solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Harris.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I live on the eastern edge of Elysian Park by the Portola Trail, Buena Vista Meadow, where there was an incidence of arson 2 or 3 days, you may be aware, confirmed after the beginning of the fires that started in the Palisades and in Eaton Canyon. I'm also part of our group, Neighbors of Elysian Park, which we formed because we had to have some sort of ability to talk to our neighbors about how to get out of the community surrounding the park in the event that that park catches fire. So I think this is super interesting. The neglected state of the tree canopy, I'm a certified master gardener and a California naturalist. I work with the orchard team, and the state of the tree canopy in that park really needs to be assessed, and it needs to be taken care of. There are dead, dying limbs. There are 100-year-old trees that haven't been tended to. There are detritus and brush everywhere. And on January 8th, I'm timing myself. I have 45 seconds left. On January 8th, when this flew into my backyard in my tiny little neighborhood where most people speak Cantonese and Spanish, and I had all my hoses on because I own my home and I can control how I use my water, it was still on fire. And that park was tinder dry and the winds were going 85 miles per hour throughout all of Los Angeles. So I guess what I'm saying to all of you is, this is what I would call willful negligence. If you do not allocate some of the funds from the Elysian Park Master Plan to deal with the poor state of the care for that park, shame on you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three constituents, Val Marquez, T. Higgins, and Pamela Marquez.
Yeah, Lewis, Jimmy, I spoke to you a few years ago regarding these issues. First of all, my name is Val Marquez. I'm with the El Sereno Arroyo Playground Vecinos.
This park is the jewel of our community, built on Caltrans land for children ages from 5 to 10 and seniors that come in, read, sit and read, relax for the day. It's a place for the neighborhood to come and just relax. And it doesn't deserve what it's getting now. There's two issues that I want to discuss tonight or this morning. 12 years ago, the park was built in four months. And the community fought hard for lobbied for Prop 68 funds and to expand the park. We were awarded the funds 5 years ago, yet the construction hasn't yet restarted. Why is that? For the last 60 years, we have endured residents' displacement for freeways, connector road, tunnels. It is because we are a community of color? I hope not. The community deserves better treatment from RAP. We demand an end to the delays. It's time we start and finish the park this year. Second, the restroom facilities. The restrooms are required Prop 68 grant. But as you know, they can become magnet for crime, including assault, drugs use, and safety concerns. This park is only 5 acres. We do not need a large standard prefab restroom that RAP is assisting on installing. Our community has—
Thank you for your time, thank you.
Our community has researched proven restroom alternatives and successfully implemented—
Thank you for your time.
Please, listen to the community. We do not need massive bathroom and a
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Pamela Marquez, and I guess I'll finish when he didn't. So I'm co-founder of the El Sereno Arroyo Playground Vecinos, who formed in December 2012 to be stewards of the park and adjacent community. In February 2020, the playground received over $2 million to expand the park from Prop 68. A requirement of the grant is that we must install a restroom, which we are not opposed to doing. Our concern is that the prefab concrete box type restrooms that RAP installs are known to attract crimes such as rape, abduction, sexual activity, dealing drugs, drug use, and more. As it is, we have personally witnessed minor drug use and dealing at the park, but the vecinos have been diligent and report these activities before it becomes rampant, but we can't be there all the time. The vecinos don't want to give these type of offenders an invitation to perpetrate more crimes and would like to work with RAP to come up with a safer and better solution. We were here several months ago to speak on this issue, and we're told that RAP would look into it. Yet shortly thereafter, when the Trust for Public Land, who is building the expansion, spoke to RAP, they were told that the prefab concrete restroom is the only one they install. In my experience, the worst thing you can say to a boss is that's the way we've always done it. So this type of answer does not bode well for RAP. The technology is available for safer, cleaner restrooms, and it's time for RAP to move out of the box and find solutions that protect the community as well as provide adequate facilities for the public. In fact, RAP did install a self-cleaning, self-timing restroom at the North Hollywood Recreation Center in 2019. So the ability to provide something different and better is there, at least for another community. The vecinos and the Trust for Public Land are eager to work with RAP on this issue and hope that we can look forward to a more productive dialogue going forward that will produce safer and cleaner solutions for our park and perhaps will open the
door for your time.
For safer options for other parks within the city. Thank you.
Greetings, T. Hagens, thank you for your service. And thank you for your constant stewardship of the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. I had the unique opportunity of serving as a volunteer during the recent emergency evacuation response. And I can say firsthand that the Equestrian Center is making a difference in the lives of those in desperate need. Beyond its recreational value, it is important to keep this center operational because of its vital hub for emergency response and community resilience. Given its critical function during devastating emergencies, it is clear that ensuring adequate infrastructure, staffing, and logistical support will help improve emergency response efforts. I would like the commission to consider the establishment of a dedicated fund or resource allocation to support and enhance the Los Angeles Equestrian Center's role as a large animal evacuation site. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three constituents, Jay Jacoby, Dennis Chu, and Mark Damber.
Hello again, Jay Jacoby representing LARC, which is the Liaison Reporting Committee for the Rancho Park Clubhouse Project, and WNC, Westside Neighborhood Council. Just wanted to give you guys a big thumbs up, Matt in particular, for getting us on the right track. We're really, there's a lot of progress going on. There's a lot of excitement going on. I made a speech to the Westside Neighborhood Council last week at our monthly meeting, and there were a lot of smiles going around. So we just want to thank you guys, and we're here to help and appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm Dennis Chu, a longtime resident of Los Feliz, a second generational. I am asking for that the Riverside Drive Bridge housing not to be renewed because of all the complications, and that they did not follow your recommendations. That was a year and a half ago. There are nothing that they have supports what they should be doing. They're not reporting to you, and they're not reporting to the city on what they've done. And it has come out that there is a lot of materials that are happening. Guys are the ones that are giving that property to them to use. Already passed the 3-year mark, and they're gonna go on forever. Remember, 14 years ago, we were promised a senior center there. It doesn't exist now. The way it's going now, it's not going to. You have the right to take that bridge house away because I'm on a center there. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning. I am Mark Dauber, board member of Rancho Park Golf Club, representing over 1,500 people. Speaking about the clubhouse, I want to reiterate the comments that Jay made. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago with Matthew and Brenda and Rachel and a couple of other people, and it was very productive. We identified a number of action items that that DAF has already started working on, and we are grateful for that and wanted to express that. Having said that, there were some things in the timeline that seemed a bit off, mostly having to do with the architectural plans and the permitting process. And it was our understanding that the plans, while still the property of TRP, they had already gone through most of the approvals, if not all of them. And it seems like there should be a way to knock off some months from that timeline. So we'd like to be able to talk with you guys more about that. But we are appreciative, and thank you for the progress.
Thank you for your time. I'm going to bring up the last three constituents. John Given. Philip Murphy. And Christina Curran.
Good morning. I'm John Given. I represent Rancho Park Golf Course at the Golf Advisory Committee. And I'd like to as already acknowledged, the effort by the entire Rec and Parks staff to communicate with the community of golfers that have been speaking to you has been very impressive, and we look forward to it being ongoing. I think Mark hit on a couple specifics, but the concern is that we're so far down the road on this and already looking at a projected timeline that can go out another year and a half. It's a little disheartening. And hopefully it's an opportunity to look at the whole procurement and contracting process, find out where the gaps are, how to do it better. It's a good exercise for the whole city anyway. Let's get it right and get it done faster. But we really appreciate the communication, and we'll be continuing to follow closely on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Hello, I'm Philip Murphy. I'm the co-president of the Friends of Elysian Park, and I'm also a neighbor or in the neighborhood organization with Elysian Park. Nice to see you all here. Thanks for listening. I know you're hearing a lot of complaints and a lot of reports. I just want to bring your attention to the fact that we did send you all a letter a couple days ago, February 18th, for the commission to read when you have a moment, about our number one concern right now, our fires. You would imagine being a 600-acre neighbors of a 600-acre park right near downtown, it's a little hard to ignore the fire situation after the Palisades and Eaton fires blew up in the middle of winter. So fire season is no longer a summer and fall occurrence, but a year-round concern for all of us. The areas of the park that we find that where the most fires occur are those that are not used by the public. They're the areas that are basically cordoned off, like Radio Hill, Buena Vista Meadows, rather, isn't cordoned off, but it's sort of a little known pocket of the park that's really lovely, but it's underused by the public. We recently came up with a plan with the Department of Rec and Parks to make a dog park at the back end of Buena Vista Meadows to try to activate that area of the park for the public, because we found that the more actively used areas of the park by the public are the ones where less fires occur, less crime occurs, and less mayhem. So that's our strategy for the park, and we want to continue to partner with Rec and Parks on projects that will activate underused areas of Elysian Park. One thing I would like to compliment Rec and Parks on is their partnership with Northeast Trees in doing tree plantings around the park to help restore the trees in the park. We basically need to reforest the entire park because 100-year-old eucalyptus trees only live 100 years and then they die off. And we have many, many dead eucalyptus
trees.
Thank you
for your time. Thank you.
That need to be removed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Christina. I'm here on behalf of Streets Are For Everyone to address a couple of issues in Griffith Park. The first is the stalled project on Crystal Springs Drive. This project was shovel ready and set to begin last August, but it's been stalled to bureaucratic delays. Based on our information, the general manager has refused to sign off on it and leaving the allocated funds for it in limbo for over 6 months. Now inflation could impact the cost of this project. Additionally, we understand the plans need to be written for LADOT approval, despite LADOT not being responsible for Rexham Park roads. We believe these delays are unacceptable, and our advocacy team with Streets Are For Everyone is prepared to escalate this issue publicly, bringing it to media attention. The second thing is that I submitted a proposal in November on resurfacing two car-free roads Fifth Park, Mount Hollywood Boulevard, and Vista de Valle. These would add 11 miles of safe bikeable paths to the park. Currently, these roads are in very poor condition. They're not accessible to most cyclists. Griffith Park has the potential to be a great urban park and connect to the bikeable paths along LA River, but allowing these pathways to deteriorate undermines that. I haven't heard back on this proposal. I think it's been about 3-4 months. I wanted to just clarify that we're not asking for a project or project approval or a new memorandum of understanding with Rexham Park. We're just simply seeking approval with LA Parks Foundation to raise to do surveys and fundraise and provide a cost analysis. That is all. But I'd appreciate an update
on
that.
Thank you for your time. Thank you. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for general public comments at this time.
Thank you, Takesha. Before we go on to the board reports, can we take a public comment specific to board report items? And before, let the record show that there was a community shout out, 2 for Kathy Santo Domingo and 2 for Matt. So the score is even at the moment.
I will begin taking public comments from constituents who are present today at our meeting. Michael Sanborn and Julia Banning.
Good morning. Michael Sanborn. I'm the director for the Banning Museum in Banning Park in Wilmington. I have been with Recreation and Parks for the last 29 years at Banning Park at the museum. We have been working last 29 years trying to save and preserve portions of the park that are historic. And the one that was before you, and thank you for your consideration on that, is our historic well. And it's a large well that was built in 1870, or I should say dug out in 1871. This provided water for the citizens of Wilmington and San Pedro, and eventually made its way to the harbor for ships. So it's very historic. And I'm proud to say that we are working with our nonprofit group and a great, great granddaughter of Phineas Banning, Julia Banning, who's the president for our nonprofit group, Friends of Banning Museum. So this was just to come and say thank you for that. We're looking forward to getting this project underway and completed. And in 2028, we will be 100 years old as far as being a part of the Parks Department, which is what it was called back in the 30s. So we would love to have you come out, see us, visit us. I'm there, feels like forever. So come and see us and enjoy our park. And now Julia Banning, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Julia Banning, and I am the great-great-granddaughter of Phineas Banning, who built the house 150 years ago in Wilmington. And I am so happy to be here today to thank you for the partnership. Well, I should also say I'm also volunteer president of the Friends of Banning Museum, and we work in partnership with the City of Los Angeles and very closely with the Department of Recreation and Parks. And I just wanted to also add my thanks to Michael's. I'm a newbie compared to him. I've only been a volunteer there for 10 years. But our mission is to preserve history, promote education, and inspire entrepreneurial spirit. Phineas Banning was an entrepreneur and known as the father of the Port of Los Angeles. And the Banning Park, with the Banning Museum in it, is a little gem in Wilmington that we work to preserve. And I extend my invitation and add it to Michael's to come and see the park. We have trained docent volunteers. We are open for tours 5 days a week. I extend the invitation to everybody here today. But also I add my thanks to you, Michael's thanks. I add mine, and thank you for letting me say hello.
Thank you. So is your great-great-grandfather then the namesake for Banning High School?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
I went to Carson High School,
but okay.
Oh, yeah. We love Banning High School, and we love to have them there, and they help us with many different things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for board report public comments.
Okay, seeing none, our next item of business, I'd like to, with my commissioner's consent, take the following board reports on consent. Item 25019, 020, 021, 023, 024, 025, and 026. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
So move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, I have a motion and a second. Can you call for the vote, please?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent. 25-019, 25-020, 25-021, 25-023, 25-024, 25-025, and 25-026. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote? President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Our next order of business is item 022.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll have your sole board report to hear about. Good morning, commissioners, RAP staff, and members of the public. I'm Tracy Goldberg, superintendent of the Valley Region, and I'll be presenting 25-022, requesting that the board approve the Valley Block Party event at Woodley Park. We did make a small change, an update to the board report and everything yesterday, which was circulated and posted online as well. The same event came in front of the board and was approved last year, but it did not take place. I have a bit of a summary for you, and then I'll be available for questions. We also have an email that I received this morning with council support. CD6, Imelda Padilla's office from Ackley Padilla, who is the chief of staff. So he wanted me to read this if possible. The applicants of the event have worked with the field staff over the past year and a half and have engaged at their request with various community groups based on this constructive approach and relationship. The council office is in support of approving this agreement, knowing that the applicant will continue to work in good faith with the council office and the community to ensure a successful event for the community rep and the applicants. That's from Ackley Padilla. So Woodley Park is a 46-acre park located in the heart of the San Fernando Valley on Army Corps land that is leased to RAP for recreation use. Woodley Park consists of three main areas, sections 1, 2, and 3, as well as an archery range, cricket fields, etc. Valley Block Party LLC proposes to design, produce, and operate a multi-day music festival in Woodley Park Section 1. The event, known as the Valley Block Party, would consist of a maximum of 2 music stages, some carnival rides, game booths, up to 3 beer gardens, 15 food vendors, and 4 additional vendors. Woodley 1, 2, and 3 parking lots, Woodley 2, Woodley Overflow Lot, and the Woodley Lakes Golf Course would be used for parking. The Valley Block Party would showcase a different genre of music each night to reflect the diversity of Los Angeles. The event is expected to attract tourists and residents while generating revenue to support RAP programs. RAP staff is proposing a license agreement attached be entered into with Valley Block Party LLC. The key components of the license agreement are the term would be October 3rd to the 15th. That includes the setup, cleanup, and the actual event. The 3-day concert series would be October 10th, 11th, and 12th. Event hours 3 to 11 p.m. and completely out of the area by midnight. Park use fees, we have a guaranteed minimum of $25,200 going to recreation and parks. Parking fees for the Valley Region areas that I mentioned, separate from golf, is $16,500. There are carnival fees in the amount of $2,500 plus a refundable deposit. We have staffing fees of just over $21,000. Setup and breakdown day fees of $10,000. Vendor fees of $10,800. In addition to lost revenue for the area of $2,936, there's also two performance deposits. They are refundable. One is to Rec Services Branch, the Valley Region, and then one is also to golf for making sure that nothing happens to the golf course. Golf course fees are being charged in the amount of $22,240. Part of that is in tee time buyout fees and lost revenue. And then another portion, $6,700, is in monitoring fees. Additional revenue to the department, both the general fund and the Valley Region, will consist of ticket sale fees of 1.5% of gross ticket sales or 1.5% of proceeds from the sale of tickets, whichever is greater, and 20% of alcohol sales. We've also received a FONSI letter from the Army Corps of Engineers. They did not receive any objection to the event. I'm here to answer questions, and I also have representatives here from Valley Block Party LLC, Paul Viscaino and Todd DeStefano. And just a reminder, we did update and circulate and posted the update yesterday, and we request the motion approve this updated version.
Thank you, Tracy. Yes. Any questions?
Just to understand a little bit of the financials right here, the fiscal impact says here, potential revenue, is that net revenue, is that gross revenue?
I can't hear, I'm sorry.
Is the, in the fiscal impact section, is this revenue gross revenue or net revenue after these areas? Because I'm confused also with the key components, which is totally fine. It says cost to us, or is it cost to the vendor? And it leads to my ultimate number, is the revenue number a gross number or a net number for RAP?
Tracy, if I can help you, you rattled off the per line item numbers. So if you add those per line item numbers, you get to the 114.
Oh, this is the add up to the revenue.
Correct. Yeah, so I'm sorry. Yeah, I only could partially hear you. Sorry.
I got you. I was keeping track.
Appreciate it.
Oh, understood. Thank you very much.
Just to point out, the 114 does not include the golfing fees. Those are separate. But we did want to combine it since it's all part of the same event.
Yeah.
Any questions for me or the gentleman over here?
No,
we're good.
I think we're good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. So do we have a motion to approve item 022?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Takeshi, we have a motion and a second to approve item 25.
Madam President, just for clarity, the updated?
Yep. Well, that's what we're reading. Yes. Item 25022.
We have a motion and a second to approve board report 25-022.
Awesome.
Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Takeisha, can you just, for the public record, state the corrected version?
With the edited version of the 25-022. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote? President, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Takeisha, do we have any neighborhood council comments?
We have not received any such requests, Madam President.
Thank you. Do we have any task force updates? Concessions is meeting today. Thank you. Any comments from the commissioners on future agenda items within the board's jurisdictions or report backs by the general manager?
Yeah, I have a couple things. So one is, I know we had residents from Los Vecinos and the Arroyo Playground. And I know we voted on that project just last week in terms of the expansion. So as that expansion begins to happen, hopefully we could mitigate and work with the community, because it is a jewel of this community. Actually, my kids would go regularly when they were in elementary school there. So ensuring that safety continues, a lot of people go to that park. So as we kind of choose a restroom in that area, that we could work closely with them to mitigate their concerns. And then,
if I could add on, commissioners, that was one of my items. And actually looking at, do we have to have a concrete restroom? Are there alternatives that are more safe given the security concerns from the community?
Yeah. And then the second is in relation to the Ascot Hills. I'm glad in response to the previous meeting they were at, that we've been working with them to ensure, some of the changes that they're looking for in Ascot Hills. And I think in particular, as we think about a lot of the question, things that came up today, but also what we've dealt with the city around the fires, is that we make sure that, you know, Ascot Hills, you know, which is another great venue here in El Sereno, right behind. My son, who's an El Sereno middle school grad, actually went to school, went to on those trails regularly for PE, as well as we attended the Kite Festival. So make sure we work with them closely around, around continue to work with them. And then lastly, also working with the advisory folks from Elysian Park, some of the concerns they brought up, we really need to look into them. It'd be good to get a report back on that as well.
Thank you. Just adding on the Elysian Park item, Jimmy, I do think it's important for us to get a little update, not a big report, just on the requirements of state law right now on brush clearance. Mm-hmm. You know, as we've seen, there's a mosaic of properties. We live in a beautiful area, but there is an urban interface with wildlands and open park space. There was state law that was passed 2008, 2009. That requires brush clearance by property owners, private property owners, into public park lands. I don't think that's well understood. I think that needs to be communicated more. And I think just for us as commissioners, having an understanding of what are the requirements of parks and what are the requirements of our neighboring homeowners would be helpful. Thank you.
And then Jimmy, I would add just a...
Please, so sorry. I do want to just also flag, and I've been beating this horn, there is fire prevention money in Prop 4. Assembly and Senate Budget Committee hearings have started on the allocation of those funds. I would like the city to be advocating for early allocation, expedited allocation of fire prevention money, and the city and parks looking where they can with their lobbying team on applications for grant allocations, and working with our state assembly member and state senators in our areas where we represent on that would be great, because those conversations are happening. Thank you. Sorry, Renata.
No, thank you. And I would just add a report back on the Crystal Spring Drive project and what the status of that is, because I do recall that was an expedited project following the death of a cyclist. So if you can do a report back on that. And also just a request, Matthew, to you specifically working on Rancho Park, and just publicly thanking you for, you know, your leadership and working through a very complicated, and Brenda as well, to get that back on track. But if you could do some conversations or have some conversations to see if we could expedite the architectural contracts to shorten that timeline, would be great. Those were my only two additions. Anything else? Okay, hearing none, that concludes our meeting. The next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 6, 2025, 9 a.m. We'll be at the Granada Hills Recreation Center at 16730 Chatsworth Street in Granada Hills. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.